Now we're going to close out the book of Acts this morning, the last chapter, and realize that God is doing exactly what he planned and purposed to do in church history. And that is to take the gospel from Jerusalem to the surrounding areas and then to the uttermost part of the world. And his purpose is to get the gospel to Rome, and he does. And that's what we read about this morning. God gets the gospel to Rome. And we're going to study a significant passage of scripture where Paul teaches something about the gospel that is not ordinarily studied in churches or is ignored. Or if it is taught, it is watered down. And I hope that we are catching the difference between the true biblical gospel and the modern gospel. J.I. Packer has a pamphlet on the difference. And it's good to read those differences. The modern gospel is not the biblical gospel. So let's study this passage of scripture and be thankful for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we'll pick it up in Acts 28 and verse 16. And last week we studied Paul in the shipwreck on the way to Rome, and now he's arriving. Verse 16, when we entered Rome. And the reason the "we" is there is because Luke, the author of the book of Acts, is with him. So he says, we, together, Paul and others, including Luke, when we entered Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier who was guarding him. And it happened that after 3 days, he called together those who were the leading men of the Jews. And when they had come together, he began saying to them, brethren, though I have done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. And when they had examined me, they were willing to release me because there was no ground for putting me to death. But when the Jews objected, I was forced to appeal to Caesar, not that I had any accusation against my nation. For this reason, therefore, I requested to see you and speak with you, for I am wearing this chain for the sake of the hope of Israel. And they said to him, we have neither received letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren come here and reported or spoken anything bad about you. But we desire to hear from you what your views are for concerning this sect. It is known to us that it is spoken against everyone. And when they had set a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in large numbers. He was explaining to them by solemnly testifying about the kingdom of God and trying to persuade them concerning Jesus, from whom both the law of Moses and from the prophets, from morning till evening. And some were being persuaded by the things spoken, but others would not believe. And when they did not agree with one another, they began leaving after Paul had spoken one parting word. The Holy Spirit rightly spoke through Isaiah the prophet to your father, saying, go to this people and say, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their ears, eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart in return, and I should heal them. Let it be known to you, therefore, that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will also listen. When he had spoken these words, the Jews departed, having a great dispute among themselves. And he stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters, and was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness, unhindered. So now there you have it. God gets the gospel to this strategic city of Rome, the most powerful city in the world, with the emperors and the commercialism and all that's taking place there. And God had to get Paul to Rome, and so he does that. Now, Paul is here. Just as a sideline to his history, Paul says he stayed there 2 full years, and he was awaiting trial for a long time, and history reveals that Paul was beheaded under the persecution of Nero. Every apostle was martyred for the cause of the gospel, gave their lives. Tradition says that Peter was crucified upside down, that John was boiled in a vat of oil. And so Paul is here. He's faithful to the gospel. Now, let's consider the first thing he does when he gets to Rome is that he calls together the Jews, and he gives the message to the Jews in Rome. Now, they had not yet heard about Paul. There were some Christians there, and notice that they are labeled as a sect, that this sect is spoken against. Because the worship in Rome was emperor worship. And anyone who did not worship the emperor was a cultist or a member of a sect. And so that's what they think of these Christians. And they did not know about Paul. And he wants to explain to them what happened in and around Jerusalem, his missionary journeys, what happened to him at the trial, and why he is there. And he wanted to teach them the gospel. Now, while he has these Jewish leaders together, the Bible says some of them believed and others did not. And then they left Paul and disputed and argued among themselves. Now, in verses 26 and 27, Paul gives them a specific content, quoting from Isaiah, what God told Isaiah the prophet to tell to the Jews. And this is from Isaiah 6, 9 and 10. And here's the specific quote. He said, "Go to this people, say to them, your eyes see, but they don't perceive, your ears hear, but they don't understand. Your heart has become dull or thick and heavy, and you don't get the message. Lest your eyes should be open, your ears open, and your heart understanding, and I would heal you." So here is the specific content that Paul wants these Jewish people to understand, and what God is going to do in history. He is going to turn to the Gentiles because the Jews as a whole have rejected the gospel, have rejected the Savior. Now let's just run through this message from Isaiah. The people heard but did not understand. Now, what does this mean? It means that they could hear physically, but they could not hear spiritually. They could not hear that message of spiritual truth in and of themselves. The people were seeing, but they weren't perceptive. That is, they could see the prophets, they could see God's creation, They could see what God had done through Moses and the prophets, but they did not understand spiritually what was happening. Their hearts had become dull and thick and heavy, so they did not understand what God was doing. They had no spiritual life. Now, in the New Testament, we call this the doctrine of total depravity. Sin had affected every area of their life, their mind and their heart and their will, and they were in spiritual death. And this is total depravity. And it's that thing that we mentioned this morning in testimony, a sin nature that everyone born of Adam and Eve, which includes every human, is born with a sin nature and is in the condition of total depravity, being unable to see, unable to hear, and unable to understand spiritual truth. And that's what Paul is saying about these people. Now, let's look a little further at this idea of not being able to see or hear or understand. Would you please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2? Now, we have looked at the doctrine of depravity several times in our history as a church, but we just want to review again this morning what the Bible says. And we'll look at 1 Corinthians 2:14, as Paul is explaining that a human being can understand the things of humans, of what we do as we live here on the earth. We can talk about human things. We can talk about food, and we can talk about sports, and we can understand those things. Verse 14, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, we have also studied Ephesians 2 and John 6:44, where Jesus said to the people, no man can come to me, unless the Father who sent me draws him. So the Jewish people are in this condition, and that their eyes and their ears and their hearts are totally depraved. And Paul is issuing this rebuke to them. And in the New Testament, we learn that Jesus did the same thing as he taught the people in parables. Would you please turn to Matthew chapter 13? In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus is going to use this quote and an understanding about teaching in parables. Disciples are going to say, why do you teach in parables? And he's going to tell them. Now let's begin at verse 1 of chapter 13. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. Great multitudes gathered to him, so he got into a boat, sat down. The whole multitude was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables. And a parable is said to be an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That is, there's a spiritual truth here, but you have to have spiritual discernment to get the message. He said, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road. The birds came and ate them up. Others fell on rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. When the sun had risen, they were scorched because they had no root. They withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. Others fell on the good soil and yielded the crop, some 100-fold, 60, and 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he said to them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted." Now there is a difference. God leaves some people in total depravity, and others he saves through the gospel and gives them spiritual understanding. Verse 12, "For whoever has, to him more shall be given. He shall have abundance. He who does not have, even what he has shall be taken from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while saying they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in their case the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You'll keep on seeing, will not perceive, for the heart of this people has become dull. And with their ears they scarcely hear, and they've closed their eyes, lest they should hear with see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart in return, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear." Now there is a difference, and that's what Paul and Jesus and the people of the New Testament are teaching. All humanity is in total depravity, but God saves some, and the others he leaves in that condition. There is a difference. And what we learn about the gospel is that God withholds his saving grace from some. He did not go to these Jews and save them. And he gives saving grace to others. Jesus said in that parable that they can't hear and they can't see and they can't understand. But God has granted to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. He makes a difference. That is, he saves his elect. He gives his saving grace to his chosen. And Jesus answers the question of the disciples. Why do you teach in parables? So that because they do not see and they do not hear and they do not understand spiritual truth. In a sense, God hides his grace and reveals his grace to others. And of course, the vivid illustration of that is in Romans 9, when we hear of Jacob and Esau, the twins who were born, but it was explained that Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated, even before they were born, before they had done anything good or bad, God had chosen Jacob. Why? So that his purpose in election might stand. That's what we're learning about this gospel that Paul is giving to the people this morning. And then Jesus said to the disciples, "But blessed are you, because it has been given to you, or granted to you, or bestowed upon you, this ability to believe the gospel. Blessed are your eyes and ears, because God has given you spiritual life." As we gave testimony this morning that had occurred to us, how thankful we should be that God has done that for us, and that's why we are here. Blessed are your eyes, blessed are your ears, and blessed is your heart, because you have spiritual life, you can see and you can hear and you can understand. Now, what does this word blessed mean? But blessed or blessed are your eyes and ears. It means that God's favor is resting on you. These people, this mass of people, the Israelite nation, we're not seeing, we're not hearing, we're not believing, but God's favor is resting upon you as one of his chosen, one of his elect, and he has granted for you to know and believe the gospel. There is a sovereign election that lies within God himself. There is a sovereign grace which lies within God himself, and he gives his grace to some and he withholds it from others. And God has a gospel which is powerful. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is powerful. Every Christian, every believer is a miracle. Because when God wants to save somebody, he doesn't have anybody who's in neutral about this thing. Now, that's the popular gospel, that you're sort of in neutral. You can choose for God or you can choose for sin. And Satan also has one vote. He can get in there and determine things. The truth is, nobody's in neutral. We have already decided for sin. We are already rebellious. We are already disobedient. Our hearts are already hostile toward God. And God doesn't have anybody who's easy to save. Every sinner is rebellious against God. So God has to overcome all that hostility, all that enmity, all that hatred, all that disobedience, and change that heart. And remove the stubbornness of the will and cause the eyes to see and the ears to hear and the heart to believe and respond to the gospel. And that takes a powerful gospel, which we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. God saves the rebellious. Are you thankful for that? We should be. This is the biblical gospel. God saves those whom he has chosen, and he does not save everyone. Now we learn about Paul's continuing witness as he's here teaching these people, and they said, "Let it be known, therefore, that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles." So he turns to the Gentiles. Now what is happening here? A significant moment in history that affects us this morning, and the reason we're here. He has turned to the Gentiles. This is a partial fulfillment of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world of the Gentiles, not just the Jews. So he's going to send the gospel to the Greeks, to the Romans, to the English, to the French, to the Italians, to the Swedes, to everybody, and including all of us here. Now, the only person I know who has some Jewish background is Mike. The rest of us are all pure Gentiles, I think. Is that true? Do any of you have Jewish blood background? Then you are a Gentile, because anyone who is not Jewish is a Gentile. And God is sending the gospel to the Gentiles. And finally, as things worked out with the Reformation and the gospel grew powerful in England, England sent out missionaries to China and Africa and India. And after the United States was established, the most powerful missionary movement in history came about because we had the money and we had the people who were willing to go into all the world. But here is the partial fulfillment, the turning to the Gentiles. And Paul is faithful in witnessing this gospel. And it says that he welcomed all who came to him. And he was preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus with all openness. So here is God's faithful witness of the gospel. And he told everybody, anybody who came to see Paul was going to get a dose of the gospel. That's a kind of a good thing to think about ourselves without being obnoxious about it. Can people be around us for a long period of time without sensing that we are Christian, without hearing about anything about the Lord? That's a question for us. Not so with Paul. With Paul, it was his high priority. That's how he spent his time. He welcomed all who came, and he preached Jesus Christ. And he was bold, and he was open, and he was unhindered. And for at least 2 years or more, he witnessed this blessed gospel, the gospel of God's grace. And we who are Gentiles this morning get in on God's plan. And what God is doing now is that he is saving individuals. Some Jewish people are being saved. Some Gentile people are being saved. And we now make up a new thing, the church, which is the body of Christ. And we are a part of that. And so we're a part of God's history. And what happened in Acts 28 is a vital part of our life this morning. We are here as believers to worship our God and to bear witness of the gospel. Let's be thankful together. Heavenly Father, we bless your holy name. We praise you. We thank you for the glorious gospel of grace that you have come to us and pulled us out of our depravity and our rebellious heart and given us a new heart to believe the gospel and to share the gospel. Thank you that you have called us together to be a church family in order to worship and praise you and to share the gospel. We thank you and praise you and ask you to use our lives as you use the Apostle Paul to give us a high priority of living for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.